I want to talk about living your life in the sweet spot. Living your life in the sweet spot of God's perfect will. The sweet spot. Hallelujah. The sweet spot of God's perfect will. Romans chapter 12. We'll pick up there. Romans chapter 12. I believe the Lord will help us to get this out just right. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. How many of you know the world is messed up? And how many of you know His kingdom, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's different, completely different, and you are completely different. You're born again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, that means experience, that you may prove firsthand, that you might have your own testimony, that you might prove what is that good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. So living your life in the sweet spot of God's perfect will. All right? And so I was thinking about that because the Lord quickened that to me about the sweet spot. And I was thinking about what exactly a sweet spot is. And of course, that immediately brought me back to my golf days. So I was thinking about, and I brought a little prop here. See, nobody knew this was here. That shows you how early I get here. Oh, Pastor Joe, you know, he just comes in late. No, are you kidding? I have eyes. I'm here before anybody's here, praise God. So I was thinking about my golf days, and I brought my driver. I grew up playing golf, so I've learned this about this golf club, and it's true of a golf club, it's true of a tennis racket, it's true of a baseball bat or whatever it is. But right here in the center of this golf club is a spot that's thank God, it's more worn than the other spots. And it's called the sweet spot. It's right in the center of the club, and it's the place where the club is most balanced. And so when you're swinging the golf club, ideally you want to hit the ball right in the middle of the sweet spot. And so being the prolific golfer that I am, that's why it's so worn right there, and it's not very worn on the outside of it. Anyway, enough of that. We're not going to brag on my golf game right now, actually. Actually, I pulled this out this morning. I was thinking, I should be playing more. I mean, I haven't played in a long time. So, but anyway, I grew up playing. So anyway, that's the sweet spot. And the thing about the sweet spot is if you hit it on the sweet spot, you'll get maximum results from your efforts. Maximum results from your efforts. And so I've learned this, that, you know, I can swing very, very hard, very, very fast. But if I don't hit it on the sweet spot, it's going to be wasted effort. On the other hand, I can be cool and smooth and chill, and if I catch it on the sweet spot with even less effort, I'll get better results. And that's what it's like in the sweet spot of the center of God's perfect will for your life. When you find the sweet spot of God's perfect will for your life, you can expend the same energy and the same output that you were before, but things go a whole lot better. And I just want to encourage you about that, because that place does exist. And it's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for. It does exist. You can find it. And then once you find it, then it's worth fighting to stay in it. Because everything goes a whole lot better when you locate the sweet spot. Praise God. So, I'll see you later. Praise God. Everybody say the sweet spot. Right? So it's, and I wrote this down, that success in life, and especially in the kingdom, it's not always a function of doing more. And it's not always a function of working harder. But you can maximize your efforts by being in the center of God's will. All right, let's go to a well-known verse in Matthew chapter 11. This is one of my favorites, Matthew 11. You'll hear me quote it a lot around here. Everybody say the sweet spot.
The sweet spot.
So I looked it up, the sweet spot in the dictionary, it says this: the sweet spot is the part of the surface that gives the most power for the least effort. It's the part of the surface that gives the most power for the least effort. All right, or it could be this. The sweet spot can be, have you ever seen somebody that's thriving in their place? Or they're just, you could almost call it, they're in the pocket. I mean, they're in their place, they're in their groove, they're doing their things and things working out. They're in the sweet spot. So the sweet spot can also be the particular situation, quality, and combination of things that's best or the most effective possible. The sweet spot. You know, if you want to, you know, a ministry can find its sweet spot by getting all the right people in all the right places. If you've got a bunch of people running around and they're not in the right place, the ministry's not going to hit its sweet spot. But when you get things in the right order, in the right place, you could say, ah, now we're moving. Now we're going. There's a flow to it. There's a rhythm to it. Right? Matthew chapter 11. And let me just say this, because the devil's so, he's so relentless. And if there's anything he wants to do, he wants to break up your rhythm. I mean, he's just nasty. Anything he can do to aggravate, irritate, do anything to get you out of your groove. Because when you're in your groove, you can hit the sweet spot. But when you get rattled and you get frustrated and all of that, then you do things, but it's like swinging the golf club real hard and real fast, but you're missing the sweet spot every time. And how many of you know with the Holy Ghost, you learn to yield to Him, He'll help you hit the sweet spot every time. Amen. Boy, the Holy Spirit will make you look good. Yes. He'll make you look good every time. There are no Holy Spirit-led failures. If the Holy Spirit's in it and we're yielding to it, you're going to come out shining in the end, giving Him all the glory on the other side, because you knew it was He, it was you, it was the Holy Spirit who did it. Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, this is well known, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Right? So how many of you years ago, maybe even you heard this verse, or you've heard this through different seasons of your Christian life, you know, at times when you're stressed out and you're worn out, and then you come to the Lord, you know, "Ah, Lord, help me, I'm tired." And the Lord invites you always, "Come to me," right? It's a standing invitation. But a lot of times we come to Him and then we get saved and then we stop coming. But I just want to remind you, this is a standing invitation to come and then just keep on coming. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." We could say it this way: come to me, you who aren't hitting the sweet spot. I'm gonna go ahead here, because I want to teach you how to hit the sweet spot. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Aren't you thankful for that? Boy, I get a lot of mileage out of this verse right here. As long as I'll keep coming to Him, and as long as I'll let Him continue to teach me, and I'll humble myself and then look for His Spirit and yield to His Spirit, you know what? His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and then the results and the fruit comes forth. And it doesn't kill you in the process.
Amen.
It doesn't kill you in the process. Right? But we like this, and many of you are familiar with this, but let's put this up in the Message translation, because it's quite good in the Message. Right? I know many of you have seen this before, but it's worth looking at again. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Boy, is He in the restoration business or what? And what will He do? And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Right? Real rest is not always found in Barakai, right? Not always. Not always. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Verse 29. Walk with me, the Lord says. Walk with me and what? Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I like that. It says, walk with me. The Lord says, walk with me. Come along and walk with me. Let's walk, take a walk together and do what? Work with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. And then do what? Learn. Everybody say learn.
Learn.
Right? So if I'm going to operate in this verse, I've got to be a learner. Right? As Brother Vince taught us, right? Disciples are learners. Right? Learn what? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Everybody say the rhythms of grace. What's that? That's where you're hitting your sweet spot. Unforced. You don't have to, you know, you see people on a driving range. Anybody that's ever played golf, you'll go watch people on a driving range, and they're just trying to hit it harder. You ever see anybody like that? Do you like that? That's called forced. But you learn if you're going to succeed in golf, you got to, it's unforced. And it's a matter of timing, and it's a matter of hitting the sweet spot. And so likewise, too often times, you know, we get involved in forcing things and trying to force things and getting our own ideas and our own plans in our heads and trying to force those things instead of yielding to His things. And we get out of sync and we get out of rhythm once we start to force things. I want to look at James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter. Because these verses always seem to speak to me, and I want to share them with you. James, the third chapter. I'm still learning. Hello, knock, 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 knock. Anybody home? I'm still learning to differentiate between when I'm forcing my own, or when I'm yielding to His. Because it's not good when we force our own. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. He said, which of you by worrying or toiling can add one cubit to your own stature? You can't add to yourself anyway. And the will of God and your kingdom purpose won't be completed through your striving, but rather through your yielding. And one is striving, the other is yielding. And it takes humility to yield, because you have to recognize that there's somebody who knows more than you. So James 3, and we're going to read verse 13, and we're going to read it right down to verse 17, just so you know, or maybe 18. And it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Everybody say willing to yield. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then verse 14, let's go back to verse 14. I just want to read it from the King James Version, right? Because it mentions this here. And I think it's very enlightening because it mentions the word strife. And a lot of times when we think of strife, we think about striving with our brother, fighting with our brother, arguing with our brother. But there's another very dangerous kind of strife, and that's what this is talking about. And it's the reason you strive with your brother. It's the reason you strive with your brother is because you're striving for your own. And that's the root of the strife with your brother, because you're striving out for your own. Right? When you're not striving for your own, but you're doing His, then the Lord will take care of stuff. You don't have to strive with people. Can you say amen, somebody? So verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, or striving in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15, King James, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Okay, so I learned this. When I'm striving, the devil's all in that.
Yeah.
So And we know if he's in that, there's going to be stealing, killing, and destroying. And there's going to be a bad outcome. Okay? Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, and what's the strife again that we're talking about? It's striving for your own. That's why the New King James says selfish ambition. It's your own ambition, what's what you're going to push for, rather than finding out his and yielding to his. For where envying and strife is, what is? There's confusion in every evil work there. Right? So that's not the place that I want to be. Amen. Verse 17, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That's willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Right? So, and I've learned this also, that I can even have scriptures and try to force my own.
Amen.
And it doesn't work. So we want to beware that we don't just have scriptures and try to force our own. And actually, this is kind of shocking, but the Word of God doesn't work apart from the will of God.
Amen.
Why would it? Because the Word of God is the will of God.
Amen.
So you don't just want to try to get scriptures and force your own. And I wrote this down. Everything, and by the way, we want scriptures. You want to go on a little scripture treasure hunt for yourself. And you want to pull out all kinds of scriptures in here because they all belong to you. But how is it going to come to pass? It's going to come to pass as you follow the Holy Spirit. So I wrote this down. Everything, including our scriptures, works better in the center of God's perfect will. Right? Or you could say it this way. Everything, including our scriptures, works better with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? So we always want to be mindful that we're not removing the Holy Spirit from this equation. He is the teacher. He is the helper. He is the guide. Right? Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Right? Years ago, I heard a great man of God teach this, and he taught, you know, if you're driving in a car, well, although now they have a lot of three-wheeled cars that are allowed on the road, and I'm not sure why. And now they even have two-wheeled cars, scooters. Those things are fast. Have you seen those things? But anyway, so most cars that are on the road, they have four wheels. And a man of God taught us this years ago that you want to check that you have all four wheels working on your faith automobile. You don't want three wheels on there, right? If you've got three wheels on a four-wheeled car, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to check that you've got all. And so your faith mobile, your faith automobile has four wheels on it, right? The first wheel is what? Believing the Word. The second wheel is what? Speaking the Word. So it's not enough just to believe the Word. You've got to speak the Word. And then the third wheel is what? You've got to act on the Word. It's not enough just to believe the Word and speak the Word. What? If you want your faith to work, you've got to act on the Word. But then there's one more important wheel on that faith car, and that's what? Be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be led by the Holy Spirit. Because you can set out, again, to get all of these things on your own, and you leave the Holy Spirit behind, and you cannot bear fruit without Him. That's why Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you get the Holy Spirit. And the problem, if you leave the Holy Spirit behind, you'll get involved in all kinds of endeavors that He doesn't even have, hasn't even called you to be involved in. And what you're looking for, what you're really looking for, it's already in the plan of the Spirit.
Amen.
So you don't have to do all that on your own. Hook up with the Holy Ghost and everything will go better. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say the sweet spot. Okay, so I like to think of the sweet spot this way, and this is a good way to talk about it, right? You've heard this said probably around here more than once, that I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. How many of you know that's a good declaration? Right? That's a good thing to say always, every day, for you, for your house, for your family, teach your kids. This is what we always say. I'm always in the number one, in the right place, and I'm there at the right time, and I'm doing the right things, and I'm doing them with the right people.
Amen.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. So we want to be, number one, in the right place, but we don't want to be 2 years ahead. Right? You can sense something in your heart that you're supposed to do. That's the right thing, but you want to have the right time. How do you know the right time? You know the right time at the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? You want to be in the right place at the right time, right? But then you can be in the right place at the right time, but then doing the wrong thing. So you need to know what you're supposed to do when you get there. And how do you know that? You know that by the Holy Ghost. Right? And then likewise, you want to be doing those things with the right people. Very, very important that we work with those that God has called us to work with. Amen? Thank God. The Bible, again, the Bible says God sets every member in the body as it's pleased. And then Ephesians and the book of Colossians talks about the joinings and the knittings together of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your life will go so much better if you learn to honor those joinings and not strive against those. See, that's strife. Well, you ought to stop thinking and just yield. And just yield what the Lord has set up for you. See, all that stuff puts us on the path of confusion and every evil work. And even we have scriptures, and we're quoting scriptures, but you're on that path of selfish ambition. Amen. And we all want to stay off that path, right? So this is powerful, and I think this will help you and encourage you. These are four things that I have found, and that you can expect in the center of God's will, in the sweet spot. These are four things I've found that you can expect and that you should also look for and monitor. Look for these four things because these are indicators of you being in the sweet spot. And the four things are power, provision, protection, and peace. Power, provision, protection, and peace. Right? You always want to be on the lookout for these, right? So if this is my sweet spot, there's going to be power. I mean, how many of you know it's not your sweet spot if there's no power there? Meaning what? There's no grace. There's no ability. There's no strength. There's no strength, supernatural strength. There's no supply to do it. Right? But whatever God has called you to do, He'll anoint you to do it. Right? There's power, there's ability, there's grace, there's anointing, there's supernatural strength. Right? Go in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank God for His power. What does Acts 1 say? You shall receive power, right? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. Power. Everybody say power.
Power.
That's ability. That's ability. So four things you're going to be looking for in your sweet spot. And remember this, God has a sweet spot for you. It's a place of God's power and His ability. All right, where did I tell you to go? 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, look at verse 8. We're going to read 8 and 9. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to what? The power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Right? So we don't want to rush through that verse. Right? Look at this. He saved us. Anybody saved here? Yeah, you're saved. But you're not just saved, you're called. But let me say this about the calling of God, because the call of God is who you are. The call of God is who you are. You know, when Adam was supposed to name the animals in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. So when he said giraffe, it became a giraffe because Adam called it a giraffe. And so your calling is what you are. It's what God's made you to be. And that calling is going to keep on calling to you until you get up into the image of that calling. That's your calling, right? It's not just some assignment out there. It's my calling. No, your calling is what God's called you. When I was born, my parents called me Joseph. They called me Joe. That's who I was because that's who they what they called me.
Yeah.
And whatever. And there's something that God's called you, and that's who you are. And that's what the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you to bring you into.
Amen.
Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God, regarding your calling. And I would just want to encourage you in life, don't settle in life until you find the sweet spot of your calling.
Amen.
Be a seeker, be an asker, be an inquirer, be a tongue talker. I mean, be a shouter, do whatever you got to do. It's not always pretty, but do whatever you got to do and get in that sweet spot. Because in that sweet spot, what will you find? You'll find power, and that's exciting. You'll find provision, and that'll make your life happy, right? You'll find power, you'll find provision, you'll find protection, and you'll find peace that you won't find anywhere else.
Amen.
So again, verse 9, He saved us and He's called us with a holy calling. Holy calling, what's that mean? Holy just means a set apart calling, meaning that's what you're set apart to do, and actually you shouldn't try to do anything else. Right? That you shouldn't try to do anything else because that's your holy calling. You're set apart for that. You're not set apart for just anything. Everybody say, I have a holy calling. Yes, you do. You've got a holy calling. You've got a holy calling. Right? That's why, because I have a holy calling, I can't just go anywhere I want to go. I can't just do anything I want to do. I can't just work with whoever I want to work. Well, I don't like them anymore. You know, I think I'm going to go over here. I can't work with just whoever I want to work with. God has set me, He has called me, He has ordained me. There's places He's called me to go, and I must learn to honor those. And if I don't learn to honor those, then I'm not going to enjoy the unforced rhythms of grace. But I'm going to enjoy a lot, I'm going to have a lot of human effort and no sweet spot. I'm going to have confusion in every evil work, but I don't want that. The Bible says if you be willing and obedient, you'll enjoy the good of the land. Everything works better in the sweet spot of God's perfect will. So, you've been saved, you've been called with a holy calling, and it's not according to our works, but it's according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. All right? So this is so powerful. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You, every one of you, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you something. I called you something, right? Before time began, in Christ Jesus, we've received a purpose. And that's something the Lord wanted me to share with you. It's so important that you be true to your design. Be true to your design, right? Don't just try to be true to people. And don't just try to be true to yourself. Be true to God's design. You'll find the sweet spot there. Right? According to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. So what's the grace? The grace is the ability. It's the power. It's the supply. It's the anointing. But where will you find it? You'll always find it connected with the purpose. The grace and the purpose go together. Amen. So when you find the purpose, you'll find the power. The power and the purpose go together. And then if you just go down to 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Just flip the page there. Or same page. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And how can you be strong that's in the grace that's in Christ Jesus? It's connect with your purpose. Because the grace is in the purpose. Hallelujah. Everybody say power.
Power.
All right. And so then the second thing you want to look for is provision. And I hope this teaching will get you thinking here a little bit. Because you want to be looking for these things. I mean, if life is going on season after season, year after year after year, and the provision is there, you might want to come back and say, Lord, where is my sweet spot? You say amen?
Amen.
Where's my... Because there is absolute provision in God, the center of God's will. Provision. So for me, I never get tired of having my needs met and my bills paid. I like that. And anybody that's found the sweet spot for any length of time in their life, they can also tell you the same thing. I like that. You know what else I like? I like living in health and strength. And you know what that's a byproduct of? Love and forgiveness. You can claim all the healing promises you want. You got bitterness, and unforgiveness in your heart. You're going to be sick regularly. It's true. Chronic conditions. That's where chronic conditions come from. People that have chronic unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. That stuff will kill you, literally. Right? So, it's nice to have your needs met and your bills paid. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Let's just look at a couple verses here regarding provision, because this will embolden you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I found this over the years, and it works for me. Maybe if you do it different, you can find out what works for you. But I found this over the years. I rarely pray about money. And I never ask for money. I rarely pray about money, and I never ask for money. But actually, I did ask for money once. So I take that back. When I left to move to Italy years ago, 22 years ago, I went to a mission school, and they taught us in the mission school, here's what you should do. You should send a letter out to all of your family and your friends, and you should let them know that you're moving overseas. And so I did that because I was a good student. And I did what they told me to do, and I wrote that letter. And in the letter I wrote, they said, okay, think about what you need for your yearly support, all of that. And so I thought through. And so I laugh to this day because I wrote a letter. That's the first letter I wrote and the last letter I wrote. But I wrote the letter, and in the letter I write, okay, yeah, I'm going to be moving to Rome, moving to Italy, moving overseas. And so I'm going to be needing a monthly amount of $3,000 a month. Ambitious, you know. it's almost kind of absurd, really. I'm going to be needing $3,000, so if you'd like to partner with me, you know, then you know, here's an envelope, and you can send in monthly support and all of that. And so, of course, I didn't have a lot of joy doing it, but I did it because I thought, well, I want to dot my I's and cross my T's and do everything that they tell you to do in the mission school, and you know. So I did all of that, and then after about a month, that was like $30,000, $36,000 a year, right? So I didn't have $30,000 a year, right? I had $300 a month that people turned in their car, and they said, they'll support me. This one was $25, this one was $25, this one was my parents, $100, you know? Probably because they felt sorry, what's this kid's going to do? It's going to ruin his life, you know. And in the end, you total all up, and I went with $300 per month committed support. Not even half of my rental payment. But nonetheless, I went, and it's good that I went, because then the Lord taught me about real faith. And real faith doesn't look to people. Doesn't rely on and depend on people. So that was the first and the last letter that I've ever written. And around here, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever asked anybody for any money, have I? I mean, why is it quiet in here? I mean, I don't think I have. I might have given you some money, but I don't think I ever asked for any money. So, but let's read here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this. It says, whoever goes to war at his own expense. Why is that not on the screen? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. Right? Nobody goes to war at his own expense. So if this is God's will, then this is God's bill. Absolutely. Absolutely that's true. I mean, that's not just fun preaching. It's not just fun because it rhymes. It's absolutely the truth. And it's something you learn to practice, and it's something you learn to depend on and rest in. Absolutely. It's ridiculous that God's going to send you to do something and not provide for you. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And that's why you hear me preach this verse also many times. I think it's Luke chapter 14. We won't turn there right now, but Jesus said this. He said, which one of you intending to build a tower doesn't sit down first and make sure he has enough to finish the tower before he starts building. Which one of you? So if the Lord would say to us, which one of you, then how many of you know you can turn back to him and say, hey, Lord, I know you've already made provision for this thing that you've ordained.
Amen.
Of course he does. You don't have to turn the finger around. And of course he does. But you have to adjust your mindset and recognize there's nothing that God has ordained that he hasn't already made provision for. You can take that to the bank. And so that's something that you always want to be looking for to know if you're in the sweet spot. If you're in the sweet spot, then there is provision. Now, of course, you got to speak the word. Of course, you're a tither. Of course, you're a giver, right? Of course, you operate according to basic spiritual law. You cooperate with the process, right? You don't worry. You cast your care over on the Lord, all of those things. But you just get busy and do the will of God, and the provision will always be there.
Hallelujah.
It's always there. And if it's not there, then maybe I'm not in the sweet spot. That's the point of this message. Maybe I'm not in the sweet spot. Right? We said this to you before in one of our other seminars, that God's plan is God's care. God's plan is God's care as long as I leave it in His hands. His plan is absolutely His care. That's the beautiful thing about getting God's plan. That's why you want to forsake your own plan and rather go for His plan. Because in your own plan, you've got to strive to make it happen. In His plan, you just yield to Him. God's plan is God's care, and it will remain God's care as long as you leave the care of it with Him. You've got to commit it to His trust. You've got to stay in faith about it. Right? You can't worry about the bills and worry about where the money's going to pay. That's why I said to you, I spend very little time praying about money and praying about finances. You want to use your prayer and use your spiritual energies to find the sweet spot and stay there. And then whatever God's called you to do, what do you do? Whatever God's called you to do, then you go ahead and settle it in your heart and then ask Him for the provisions. Release your faith. Okay, Lord, you're calling me to do this. This is what you've called me to do. So I go ahead and in Jesus' name, go ahead and reach out and ask Him for everything pertaining to it.
Yeah.
And believe you receive.
Amen.
It might be a trip. It might be an endeavor that He calls you to do. Whatever it is, Lord, this is what you've called me to do. Settle it in your heart. And then reach out by faith and go ahead and claim and ask for everything pertaining to it. And then after that, what do? Get busy and do your job. Get busy and do your job and give the care to the Lord. As we've said around here before, you know, our job, especially as preachers, is not to find ways to get the money in. Right? Our job is always to find how the Lord wants us to get the word out.
Amen.
If we'll focus on our job getting the word out, then the Lord's job is to get the money in. Right? So I found this for myself because I know God's called me to live in dominion and authority. But my dominion and authority is a function of my alignment. It's a function. It's a product of my alignment. So I'm not going to walk in dominion and authority beyond my alignment. So actually, me being in the will of God and walking in the will of God is dominion already. It's dominion already. Money follows. Favor follows. There's power in that place. Right? You don't have to stay up all night and confess the word and speak the word and confess the word and speak the word. No. You enter into rest about what God's called you to do. And you moving in that plan, that is faith. Right? Because faith is what you say or what you do based upon what He's revealed to you. Right? It often begins with words, but then it's solidified with action. And when you move in that will, then there is a release from heaven into your life. Everybody doing okay? Praise God. All right, praise the Lord. Provision. Everybody say provision.
Provision.
Right. So again, I don't spend much time praying for money, and I don't ask for money. So ask, claim, believe you receive, but then use your spiritual energies to stay in the sweet spot of God's perfect will. All right, and then another thing you can look for in that sweet spot is, and this is so beautiful, I get all fired up about this, protection. Protection. All right, it doesn't mean you won't be challenged. It doesn't mean you won't be tested. It doesn't mean the weapon won't be formed, but the weapon formed against you will not prevail. You'll just keep on sailing and keep on moving and keep on going. Hallelujah. In the sweet spot of God's perfect will. I want to read some verses to you because these are some of my favorite verses. Praise the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 5 says this. We'll just run through these. Joshua 1, 5 says this. God told Joshua, "No man shall stand before you all the days of your life." Huh? Nobody can stop you. See, being in the sweet spot of the will of God will give you a confidence you cannot get anywhere else. No man, nobody can stop you. No man can stop you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Right? Hebrews 13 says this, "The Lord Himself has said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." So that you can boldly say, what? "The Lord's my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me?" Praise God. That's a beautiful place to live your life. Talking about the sweet spot. Amen. You don't have to lay awake all night about what somebody said about you or what somebody threatened you or what people say about you or what somebody thinks about you. Who cares? Right? As long as you keep forward, go forward in the will and the plan and the purpose of God for your life, you're going to come out smelling sweet in the end. Amen? All right, just give your neighbor a little elbow right now, just a little bit. Make sure they're awake and doing real good here. Right? We don't want them to fall asleep in the best part right now, right? It's the best part coming up. Right? Some of you didn't have your coffee this morning. I know how you are. You know what I've learned about this? I used to be kind of anti-coffee, and then I recognized caffeine's my friend. And I use it. Hey, whatever it takes, but when you're in the service, it ain't sleeping time. And if you need a double dose, if you need a dopia down at Starbucks, you get yourself a double shot, whatever it takes. Get yourself some caffeine pills or whatever you need to do. Prop yourself up, whatever. But I mean, you don't want to be sleeping through the... I hate that. And I hate that in a prayer meeting. I've learned that. I hate to be sleepy in a prayer meeting. Oh, it's the worst. 2 hours passed and you slept for an hour and a half of it. You ever done that? You ever been there? Well, you know, I've done some of that, but I'm doing a whole lot less of it because I've learned the power of the Holy Ghost and caffeine. The point is this. Just do whatever it takes. But don't miss out on the Word of God. Everybody say, "No man shall stand before me all the days of my life." But where is that? That's in the sweet spot. That's in the sweet spot. Because you could claim that, "I claim that, I claim that," and you're off doing your own thing. Honey, it's not going to work very well. The Bible says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. These are some of my favorites. Isaiah 54, 17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." No weapon formed against you shall prosper. "Every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Read that in the New Living. Let's just see that in the New Living. See if I find the one I'm looking for. NLT. Yeah. "But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you." But notice this, these benefits, this is a benefit. These benefits are enjoyed by who? The servants of the Lord. And what? Their vindication will come for me. In other words, the Lord will take up for you. See, we lose something a little bit with the New King James that says their righteousness for me is from me. And I always thought, see, that proves I'm the righteousness of God. Yeah, I am the righteousness of God, but that's not entirely what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is for those who move out and serve the Lord will be your vindication. He will be your vindication. That's a beautiful verse. Praise God. So no man shall stand before you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." No man, no weapon, no power of the enemy. There's protection in the sweet spot. Don't miss the point. Not just anywhere, in the sweet spot of the revealed will of God for your life. Praise God. Oh, here's a good one. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in. But what's the context here? The context here, right, is Deuteronomy 28, right? We won't turn there, but verse 1 and 2, it says, "If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God and obey all these things." But what is that? That's if you be led by the Holy Spirit. It's not about keeping laws and keeping rules. It's about following Him. In fact, you know, Brother Andre, how many of you were here for Brother Andre's meeting? We invited many of you were here. But he taught us something very powerful about how, you know, activating the supernatural in your life through what you see and what you say. Seeing and saying. So you see it by revelation, then you say it. But you know what I learned? The Lord taught me this almost 20 years ago. It doesn't stop with seeing and saying. Not yet finished. That's very important, seeing and saying. After you see and you say, what do you do next? You obey. And then what do you do after you obey? You persevere. So God will show you something supernatural, and then you speak it forth, you declare it forth, and then what do? Just sit in your house, brother. No, don't sit in your house. How is that thing that you saw and you said going to become a reality in your life? You're going to have to follow on. Because that thing's in your future with the Holy Ghost. Obey. Everybody say obey. And you say, okay, Brother Joe, I obeyed. I said it, and now I'm obeying, but it still didn't happen. Now what do? Endure, persevere. Because Hebrews says this, ye, after having done the will of God, you need to endure so you can receive the promise. Right? You don't just do it for one day, you keep on doing it. Everybody say, see. Say. Obey. Persevere. Say it again, see. Say, obey, persevere. This is a supernatural process. Say it again. See, say, obey, persevere. But see, you've got a whole bunch of Christians. They're trying to obey. I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to do that. They haven't seen anything. And so enter the Holy Spirit, because He wants to help you see something so you can release something. But then after you release it, what do? Don't try to make it come to pass on your own. Follow Him wherever He leads you. And then keep on. Endure. Can you say amen?
Amen?
But what are we talking about? We're talking about His protection.
Amen.
All right, look at this one. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to smother you. No, they will be defeated before your face. They'll come out against you one way, and then all of a sudden you'll see seven tracks going away from you. They'll flee from you seven different ways. There is protection in the sweet spot. There absolutely is. If I'm not doing anything today, I want to make you hunger for the sweet spot. So I was Googling sweet spot, you know, because I was trying to look up the definition. And I also found sweet spot. There's restaurants called the sweet spot. So I'm not referring to a chocolate cake. I'm not trying to get you to crave chocolate cake. So I'll stop talking about chocolate cake so you won't think about chocolate cake anymore. Okay, stop thinking about chocolate cake. All right. I know some of you are going to go and get some chocolate cake after this. Oh, these are my favorite verses. Tried and tested, and I haven't seen the half of it yet. Because there's new kingdom endeavors, and you're going to need this feather in your hat as you move forward. Right? Because the world's not going to always stand up and rejoice when you come in. But I like what Psalm 112 says. Wow, the whole psalm is good, and we've been camping there lately. But go over to Psalm 112. So it talks about, we'll read it, blessed is, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. So this is the picture of us, right? And then your descendants will be mighty on earth. Your generation is blessed. Wealth and riches are in your house. Your righteous works endure forever. Unto you there's light in the darkness. You are gracious, you're full of compassion, you're righteous. You deal graciously and you're a lender. You guide your affairs with discretion. You will never be shaken. You are in everlasting remembrance. You're not afraid of evil tidings and bad news. Your heart is steadfast. You trust in the Lord. Your heart is established and fixed. You are not afraid. You will see your desire upon your enemies. Verse 9, you have dispersed abroad. You have given to the poor. Your righteousness endures forever. Your honor, that's your strength, will be exalted with honor. And then I like verse 10. Verse 10 says this, the wicked will see it. And you know what he'll do? He'll see it and he'll be grieved. He'll gnash his teeth and he'll melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So what we'll do? He'll see it and he'll say, I wish I could stop him, but I can't stop him. I can't stop him. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. He'll gnash his teeth. I hate that that guy's here, but there's nothing I can do about it. Right? He prepares a table before us right in the presence of our enemies. They have to move over and make way. The kingdom of God is coming through. But we're not just talking about doing anything you want to do because you feel like you want to do it. We're talking about being in the center of the sweet spot of God's perfect will for your life. There's power there, right? There's provision there. There is protection there. And then this is one of my favorites. Praise God. We just got to look over at this. Holy moly, holy moly. I'll just preach it to you. Acts chapter 5. Remember Gamaliel's advice in Acts chapter 5? When they were persecuting the apostles in the early church. You don't have to turn there. But remember, and Gamaliel said, they said, what should we do to these guys? What should we do with these guys? Because these guys are preaching the name of Jesus and they're doing all these signs and wonders. And Gamaliel said, whoa. Be careful what you do with these guys. Be careful what you do with these guys. Because if what these guys are doing is of men, it's not going to come to anything anyway. But if what they're doing is of God, it cannot be withstood. Lest you be even be found to fight against God. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As you move in God's plan and purpose for your life, you cannot be withstood. You don't have to battle with people anymore. You don't have to fuss with people. You don't have to argue with people. You don't have to strive with people. Forgive. Walk in love. Let the Lord be your vindication. I like that. You cannot be withstood lest you even be found to fight against the Lord. Good advice. Need I go further? Genesis chapter 12, right? 1-3, right? Get out of your family, from your father's house to a land that I'll show you, right? I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. And I'll do what? I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. And as I'm preparing these things, and this is how the Lord's been ministering to me, here's what the Lord, I just want to share this, and I'm going to close in just a minute. But I hear the Lord saying this to me. He's saying this to me, Joe, I so much have you covered. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying that strong enough, but Joe, I got you so covered in this whole thing. I just need you to keep on with me. I got you so covered. You are so covered. You are so covered in provision. You're so covered in protection. You're so covered with power and ability and grace going forward. You're so covered in peace. I love the peace of God from being in the will of God. I like the psalmist says this. Psalm says this. I'm not going to tell you which one so you won't turn to it. Sneaky like that, huh? I'll tell you after. But the psalmist says this. He said, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's Psalm 4 and verse 7, I believe. So I will both lie down in peace and sleep in peace. Right? There's something about being in the sweet spot in the center of God's perfect will. The psalmist said it this way, though war may rage against me, yet in this my heart will be confident. All hell can be going on around you, but you're in the secret place of the Most High. It's a beautiful place to live. Amen. I just want to encourage you, go for God's sweet spot for your life.
Hallelujah.
It's the place of maximum output with doesn't mean you're not going to have to apply yourself. In fact, let me just close with this here. Because have you ever heard anybody say this? They said, you know, brother, if you're going to do the will of God, you got to pay the price. You got to pay the price. But you know, the ultimate price is paid for people outside of the will of God. It's costly to be outside of the will of God. It'll cost you health. It'll cost you your family's well-being. It'll cost your children. It'll cost everybody around you. It's costly. It'll cost you financial difficulties that you wouldn't have otherwise. It's costly. I've been studying lately the life of the Apostle Paul and how God, when God called the Apostle Paul, he called him to the Gentiles. And primarily to the Gentiles. And his ministry was to the Gentiles. And so Paul, he got his call from the Lord to the Gentiles. And where did he go? To the Jews. And for several years, maybe about 5 years, he kept going to the Jews, kept going to the Jews. And you know what he encountered there? Lots of trouble. And lots of unnecessary persecution that probably could have been avoided had he just stuck with what God had called him to do and found his sweet spot. Amen. And I just want to encourage you because there is a sweet spot and you've got to walk in humility and you've got to be teachable. And we've learned this, right? That pride, anytime I'm operating in pride, pride makes excuses. But when I'm operating in humility, humility will make adjustments. So I don't want to be the person who always makes excuses. Pride. Yeah, but there was traffic. Pride. But humility says, okay, Lord, I know this is on me and it's within my control, within my authority. Where do I need to adjust? Because I want to be in the center. And of course, then he's going to show you. Amen. If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He'll exalt you. Right? But you can't live your life making a bunch of, well, I'd forgive them, but you don't know what they did to me. Oh, just live your life in bondage then. So the greatest price is paid outside of the will of God. But it's true that there are certain things that we must do. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But just listen to these words because I think it's quite a list of words here that the Lord gave me. These are things that we must do by God's grace and with His help. Just listen to these, because it's a long list. All right? We must fight. We must press. We must contend. We must labor. We must choose. We must submit. We must resist. We must watch. We must pray. We must consecrate. We must yield. We must follow. And we must obey.
Amen.
That's a powerful list, isn't it, right there? What must we do? We must fight. Fight the good fight of faith. We must press on to lay hold of that for which He's laid hold of you. We must contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We must do what? We must labor to enter into rest. We must do what? We must choose. I set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. Choose life. You must choose. You must do what? You must submit, right? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You must resist also. You must watch. You must pray. The Bible says watch and pray lest you enter not into temptation, right? You must do what? You must consecrate, right? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What else? What must we do? We must yield. James 3 talks about being willing to yield. What must we do? We must follow. Jesus said, if anybody wants to serve me, he should follow me.
Amen.
And where I am, there he will be also, and my Father will honor him in that place. That's John 14, 26, right? And what else must we do? We must obey. Hallelujah.
Good
I just want to encourage you with that today. God is saying to me, I've got your back so much. I've totally got your back on this thing. Totally got your back. I've got you covered in every way. I just need you to move on with me. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Well, it's too hard. It's too hard. And I don't. That's pride. That's the voice of pride. No, get on your bed and get on your face and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to settle that voice down. Now, where do I need to adjust and change? Amen. You ever heard that crying flesh in your own life? Yeah, we all have. We all have the same. All right? There's no temptation overtaking you, but it's common to man. Right? We all know that. We all know that spoiled little ratty, bratty voice. But you got to get a hold of yourself. Humble yourself. And then the grace will come to those who humble. Let's stand up. Thank you. We're good here. Joseph, you can play for me a little bit. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Everybody say sweet spot, sweet spot.
Sweet spot,
sweet spot, sweet spot. Sweet spot. Everybody say sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
Praise God. So if you're really good after this, I'll let you come up here and take a swing with my golf club, huh? Sweet spot. Don't forget the sweet spot, right? You don't want to hit it out here. You don't want to hit it over here, right? If you hit it here, they say, if I hit it here, I say, oh, I hit that one on the toe. If I hit it here, you can feel it. It's just not right. You did the same swing, but just not quite right. You say, oh, I hit it on the heel.
Hole in one.
Yeah, hole in one for Mike. Okay. But you want to hit it right in the center, the sweet spot. You don't have to exert as much effort. You can be cool. You can be smooth. And the results are much, much better. Amen. Let's lift our hands. And let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we all know we've missed it so many times, but you've been so gracious and you've been so merciful and you've been so faithful. And Lord, we're here today to present ourselves to you, Lord, and to say, Lord, we want to move in what you've called us to do. Help us to find the sweet spot, Lord. Lord, help us to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things and doing it with the right people. Lord, anywhere we need to adjust, show us, Lord. Help us to take a little inventory of our lives, Lord. Looking for your power, looking for your peace, looking for your protection, looking for these four P's in our life, Father. Thank you for ministering to us, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's just wait a minute in the presence of the Lord. Let him minister to us for just a moment. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We humble ourselves, Father. We humble ourselves. Father, I want to thank you for all my partners. I want to thank you. You said that those who bless me and empower me, that you will empower. Father, I want to thank you. I release that blessing on all my partners. The blessing to walk in the will of God and to walk in the purpose of God. I declare the blessing on all my partners to walk in their high places. Hallelujah. To walk according to your design for their lives. That they would go forth and bear fruit abundantly. Thank you for the things you've taught us today. The things you've reminded of us of today, Father. Thank you for being so gracious and kind to us today. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy endures forever. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bless all my partners today. I say be blessed, be strengthened, be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Go forth in strength, go forth in power, go forth in accuracy led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go forth and fulfill what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You know what to do. You know the voice of your shepherd, a stranger's voice you will not follow. Hallelujah. You lay aside weights and sins and things that trip you up and slow you down, and you run with endurance the race that's set for you. Hallelujah. Thank you for every person here, for their calling. Father, for their place, for where they fit and where you've joined them. Thank you that the path of the just grows brighter and brighter. Thank you, Lord. Let's just say this, Lord. As we pray today, according to Mark 11:25, as we stand praying, we forgive if we have aught against any. I forgive everybody of everything. Hallelujah. I forgive everyone of everything. I'm walking in love and I'm walking in forgiveness. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not upset with anybody. No, I believe the best about everyone. Thank you, Lord. No one can stop me. No one can hurt me. No one can harm me as I do your will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed by your stripes. Satan, I bind you. I rebuke you in my life. Jesus is my Lord. I rebuke your lies. I rebuke your plans and strategies. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Jesus is my Lord. I'm going forward in grace and power, peace and protection. Hallelujah. Provision from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. I'm going to release this now. Be blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Give him a shout. Praise the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord.